If you'd like to take your Bibles, we find we've been dealing with last week. We dealt last week with the matter of the old and the new man and choosing life. And what we want to do this morning deals with this of the principles concerning that of the old man with what we found within the writing of the Ephesian letter and the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, actually, where he dealt with this principle of putting off the old man. One of the things that we find, just briefly, deals with the matters of that of the gospel. We know that in regard to the gospel, that the gospel is what Paul had indicated in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That good news, the fact that man, having transgressed the laws of God, that he was in sin, that God has provided an avenue through which we can have those sins paid for and thus forgiven and stand in a proper relationship before our God. We find that without the gospel, only wrath remains. Paul stated in Romans 1 verse 18 that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. And so that wrath, which is a judicial wrath, just like we have within the nation within which we live, individuals that violate the laws of God are subject to the wrath of the government, the wrath of the nation. That's what Paul had indicated in Romans chapter 13 as well, that they're there for a purpose. And as Peter had identified, is that a governor has a responsibility of executing the proper judicial wrath against those that violate the law. And so we see the need for an accountability, if you will, before our God, just like we have within the nation. God has developed the nations as well. And so we find that without the salvation of God, only the wrath remains, that judicial wrath, the wages of sin being that of death. We find that within the writing of Titus, in Titus 2 and verse 10, we find that as Christians, now under this context, he's dealing with the matter of servants, of being in subjections to their own masters. But he said in verse 10 that opposed to following the ways of the world, he instructed them that they were to show all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. To adorn, to make it beautiful. And that's what the gospel does. It will make it beautiful, that when people see the effects that the gospel will have upon the lives of individuals, it'll make it beautiful. And it will actually draw people to that of God. When they see the goodness of God, He reigns on the just and the unjust. And with that principle that our lives should, as we are lights in the world, that it should draw individuals to the Lord. And so we are to adorn the doctrine of God, to make it beautiful to those who see it. And we find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, beginning of what that is going to require. We find that when you deal with that of agnosticism, the agnostic, the atheist, atheism and agnostic doctrines, they never have drawn individuals to a life of moral and ethical and godly living. It's only the gospel that will do that, because it requires that individuals make a change within their life. And therefore, in Ephesians 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feelings gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye did not so learn Christ, if so be that ye heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that ye put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that was waxed corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth."
And so within our obedience to the gospel, it brings about this principle of changing our life, that it's no longer being directed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life, of what we think, but it is according to the gospel of our God. And so that's what he had identified, that within individuals who are living as the Gentiles, and here was a place of where you had within the world Jew or Gentile. That's the comparison that was made. And so the Gentiles were all those that were outside of the commonwealth of Israel, outside of that covenant relationship with God. That type of life will just simply usher in lasciviousness, which is excess, that it just goes from bad to worse, if you will. It'll usher in excess within life, and individuals will do it with all greediness. They just can't get enough of it. And so it just continues to snowball, if you will, and get worse. Where the gospel will cause a changing of the thoughts of the mind, and that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, as Paul said in the Roman letter, to that of a service to the Lord. And so we find that when we're talking about this gospel, we are to put away the old man, that you put it away in regard to that. We'll see what some of that involves. And we find in order to accomplish this, we have in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the process that God made, as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which is what John chapter 3 identified. Here's how it all began. When he said in John 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word. Now the Word is the medium or the substance through which God made his revelation known. This is the one that made the revelation known. And so through the Word, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Verse 14. But this Word that came, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light, that illumination, that shows that opposed to what Paul said in Ephesians 4 about them being in darkness, that of ignorance, now we have the truth. We have the light. And here's what God has provided for us. And so in reference to the gospel, in order to provide it, that we find that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, that the work of the Lord, of what he came to do, was to seek and to save that which was lost. And in our society, that's us. That he had provided the means by which people, even in generations that have come and gone since that time, individuals still have the opportunity to come out of that lost condition into one of the salvation that was provided. And that is good news. That's what the gospel is. And so we have that opportunity not only for us to enjoy, but we also have it that we might be able to give it to others. All right, so when we find this matter of the characteristics of the old man, he says that you put them away. All right, so what are or what were the characteristics of the old man that either needs to be put away or that we have put away? We find, first of all, that he talks about the matter in Ephesians 4, that of spiritual darkness. That they are in regard to that, Ephesians 4, 17 through 18, which is what we read, that they were darkened in their understanding. Now, we've been looking in the writing of Jeremiah that Robert's been teaching, and that's what the people did. They lacked this understanding. They were in darkness. They trusted in their own judgment rather than that of the will of God. And so this old man is one that is darkened in their understanding. They do not understand. They do not have that knowledge. And he said to them in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, beginning of where those that had obeyed the gospel, that they were once in darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Paul said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness. Now here's the characteristics of the old man. that in regard to it, that those that are in this darkened state without understanding, they will follow these characteristics or these deeds, if you will. That nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Talk about that this morning a little bit, about the responsibility of the child of God in the delivering of the gospel will set forth, not of themselves or not of ourselves, a matter of condemnation, but it does identify that those that are practicing this are separated from God, and therefore that condemnation was there. We think about Noah, that when Noah built the ark, he condemned the world simply by building the ark. By doing what God said, Noah says, this is right and this is wrong. When you do what's right, you do, in essence, condemn the other activity that isn't right. So it's not a verbal thing, as it is a matter of by what we do in practice, this is how we live. And when you take a certain lifestyle that you say is right and it has eternal consequences, you are in essence saying that anything other than that is not right. And it condemns those in that position. And people do not, we don't like, we're all people, we do not like a condemnation. And as a result of that, individuals get angry and they set forth their wrath. And that's what they did with the Lord and ultimately crucified him. And so we find that within Ephesians chapter 5, he said that you were, verse 8, once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest. And the manifest is that now there is a physical observation. That's what it is to be made manifest. By the light, for everything that is made manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. So this matter of what we have, that we once were darkness, but as Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 beginning tells us, that through the gospel that we have been delivered out of that darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make request for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we find this responsibility of what he says. He says, I want you to know the gospel, I want you to understand it, and I want you to apply it. These biblical principles. Know it, understand it, and apply it, and continue to grow. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet, or that we are acceptable in this, and can produce this, that he's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So when we're talking about choosing life, as far that of that which is profitable now, godliness is profitable for this life, and that which is to come, that we have been delivered out of that. We are taken away from that spiritual darkness, and now we are a part of the light. And so he says, you put away that old man. You put off that spiritual darkness that you might be delivered out of the power of that darkness and translated into the kingdom of his Son. For we find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, of where the Apostle Paul once again identifies what we have come out of, he said, "And you did he make alive when ye were dead through your trespasses and sin, wherein ye once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience." And this matter of Satan being a prince of this world is simply because the majority of the world follows after him. And in that sense, he's the prince of the powers of the air. And so he identifies that we were once dead, but now we are not, because we are not under that, among whom, he said in verse 3, we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And he raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That this relationship, if you will, fellowship that had been severed as a result of our sins has been paid for. We have the forgiveness of those sins, and now we are sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. That's where our mind is. That's what Paul stated in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1 when he said, "If then ye were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth." And so we have changed. We have come out. That old man is to be put away. And that old man is one that is driven by the natural inclinations of man, of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. So we've been delivered out of one. So when we think about the characteristics of the old man, the characteristics of the old man is one that he's darkened in his understanding. And as a result of it, he was controlled by that darkness, but the Lord has delivered us out of that. And though we were dead, and death is a separation, as the physical, death is a separation of the body and the spirit, we find that the spiritual death is a separation in man's favor. It separates him from God's good favor toward him. And that separation, as a result of sin, must be dealt with. And so though we were once dead through our trespasses, we now have an opportunity and a blessing through Jesus Christ. So one of the characteristics of the old man is that he is in spiritual darkness. The other one that we'll look at this morning deals with the condition that he is Satan's bond servant. This is not a matter of having several to choose from. We're either the servant of Satan or we're the servant of God. That's the only two options that are there. And if we are the old man, then we are Satan's bond servant. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, we find where Paul deals with this issue. When he said, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." We can look at that within our life. Who is it that we serve? Who do we serve? Do we serve the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life? If that's what we serve, then we're Satan's bond servants. All right, so he said that you are servants based upon who it is that you serve. "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered." So you were delivered into that of the teaching of God. That old man is to be put off. That we are ignorant as far as our understanding was concerned, without understanding, and that as a result we were bondservants of that of Satan. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, John breaks this down, and I'll say this doesn't, it's not a matter of rocket science. John pretty well breaks it down in John chapter 3 and verse 7, when he said, "My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested," he came to earth, "that he might destroy the works of the devil." And so this matter of who it is that we belong to, he said, not that you committed a sin, but that is your lifestyle. You are following not according to righteousness, which is God's standard. And if we're not following God's standard, then we're following the natural standard of man, which is governed and motivated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. And so in regard to that, John said, "He that doeth sin is of the devil." Also, we find that this characteristic of the old man is that when we are in that condition, that we are brought into bondage as a result of that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. "For he had identified in regard to this, that for uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lust of the flesh by lasciviousness those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty, while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage." So the old man is not free in regards to the matter of no accountability. The fact is, he is a bondservant of sin, he is a bondservant of the devil, and that's who it is that he serves. So the characteristics of the old man in regard to this deals with this principle that in regard to it, that everyone that committed sin is a bond servant of sin. So where are we in reference to our relationship with the Lord? Are we one that has put off the old man? Or are we one that is a bondservant of Satan? We're living like the devil, and in reference to it, the Lord says, "I'm going to recognize it as such." And his wrath is set up for that. The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. And so we have this opportunity and we have this benefit to put off these characteristics of the old man. So back in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul identifies it, and this morning we're only looking at these two, that they were ignorant, in reference to that of their understanding, and as a result, they were alienated from God because of that ignorance, because of the hardening of their heart. We find that the hardening of the heart comes about when we rebel against God. When Moses went into Pharaoh and told Pharaoh what to do, that Jehovah had sent him, told Pharaoh what to do, Pharaoh says, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey him? I'm the Pharaoh of Egypt. Who is this God that I should obey him?" Well, God showed him who he was. And every time that he would bring a plague upon him and that Pharaoh would beg that they remove that plague, his heart got hardened. He was not going to be told what to do. And when individuals refuse to open themselves up to the direction of God, their heart gets harder every time they hear of what God would have them to do and they rebel against it. It just makes that heart harder. And that's what a characteristic of the old man consisted of. All right? So we have that in regards to what the Lord would have us to do, to put off that old man and to put on that new man. Lord willing, next week we'll expand upon this to see more of the characteristics of the old man.